Well, we're back in the book of Galatians today, and we're in lesson 20. Today we'll be in Galatians 5, verse 19. And I've titled this lesson, Pardon Me, Your Works Are Showing. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to Galatians chapter 5, and we're just going to read one verse today, verse 19. Now, the works of the flesh are evident, sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality. Okay, so before we go any further, I'm going to say this at the outset. Paul is about to step on some toes here. More like stomp on some toes. However, let me remind everyone as we go through this that all of the things that we are going to go through in the next few lessons are not the final word. Now, Paul's about to list out a list of evidences of the flesh and their sins. As we do that, you will see yourself in some of these. You'll see your sin in these. Remember, the process of sanctification is just that, a process. It won't happen overnight. So don't automatically assume that you aren't saved because you see yourself or your sin here. Instead, if you do see your sin here, take that to God. Stop where you are, repent of that sin, and ask God to help you to hate that sin more and more, and ask Him to continue to sanctify you of that sin and remove it from you. While some of these may really make us uncomfortable and may make us want to deny what is plainly written here in God's Word, because it might mean we have some repenting to do, remember throughout it all that God is gracious. His decrees are not there to make us miserable, but to free us. He created us, ladies. He knows what is best for us. Society does not. Trust Him. Meditate on what you read here and let Him show you the truth of what is here. I know that for many of these things over the next few days that I'll be spending time on my knees, praying for guidance and forgiveness, so don't think for a minute that I'm singling anyone out. Now seems to be a good time to remind you that ultimately everything that I teach is from my personal devotions of God's Word. So this is from God's Word. This is not me adding to Scripture. Go and read Galatians for yourself and see what it says. Now fasten your seatbelts because we're going to dig in here. First of all, Paul lets us know that the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. They're not subtle. Our culture and society today will tell you that many of the things that we'll read over the next few days are not sinful or wrong, they're just different, with the implication that they're different is better than what you believe, or that you are being judgmental or mean by believing what God's Word says, which is ironic because they're judging you as they say that you're judging. But anyway, so prepare yourself to have your toes stepped on and to feel uncomfortable because God calls us to a standard that we may not be expecting. The first on the list of obvious sins, again, it's obvious, is sexual immorality. Okay, ready for your toes to get stepped on? Sexual immorality is any sexual activity outside of marriage. Any activity at all. This isn't just adultery. It is any sexual activity outside of what God sanctioned and, hold on to your toes, and outside of marriage. That's what God has sanctioned. By God's definition, is one man and one woman. Genesis 2:24 says, Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Jesus quotes Genesis 2:24 in Mark chapter 7, verses 6 through 8, where he says, But from the beginning of creation God made them male and female. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. So, ladies, that means that homosexuality is a sin. And anyone who says, well, homosexuality was only declared a sin in the Old Testament, not the New Testament, they haven't read the New Testament. Romans chapter 1, verses 26 through 27 says very clearly, For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions, for their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women, and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 10 says, Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Now, more toes to be squished. Sexual immorality includes premarital sex, too. Any sexual activity outside of marriage, outside of a man and wife, is a sin. Hebrews 13:4 says, "Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous." So while the words premarital might not appear in the Bible as far as premarital sex, we can definitely see that the marriage bed is to be undefiled, that sex is reserved for marriage. In our world today, how rare is it to have anyone be completely sexually pure? It's extremely rare, yet that's what we're called to. I'll be perfectly honest here, ladies. After my husband and I were engaged, we signed a purity contract with the pastor who married us. And let me tell you that, especially after signing that, we fought temptation like we had never fought before. And we weren't as successful in fighting that as I might wish. There were weeks when we dreaded having to answer the question, "How has it been this week?" when our pastor would ask us, because we wouldn't lie to him. But we also knew that lines had been crossed. There were a lot of tearful prayers offered on our knees as we struggled to do what he wanted us to do when our flesh wanted something completely different. Here's what we need to keep in mind always when we're considering sexual sin, because this one is a little different. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 18 tells us to flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Sexual sin is a big deal, yet our world has stopped fighting this one. So many churches even will carefully not ask whether a couple is living together before marriage, and they'll marry them anyway without addressing the unrepentant sin in their lives. So, just to sum this one up, sex outside of the marriage bed, outside of a husband and wife joined together by God, is sin. Homosexuality is sin. Before anyone sends me hate mail, let me be perfectly clear here. This is not the end of the story. Remember, God tells us that every sin has the exact same consequence. It separates us from Him. Don't think that I'm trying to pick on any one group, because I'm not. I'm picking on all of us because we're all sinners. And remember, forgiveness is still offered when we truly repent. Now, there are two more things to cover quickly today, so hold on. The second one is impurity. Now, keep in mind where Paul started here with sexual immorality, right? He now takes that a step further, just as Jesus did in Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 through 28, where he said, "You've heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart." There, Jesus tells us that impurity is not just an action, but it also goes back to our thoughts. Pornography is, indeed, part of that too. The heart motive matters. So think about this. Webster defines impurity as a substance that has been mixed with an unwanted extra substance. So when we entertain thoughts that do not belong in our heads, we're mixing those thoughts with things that God has told us to plant in our heads. And just like the yeast that spoils the whole batch, those thoughts can literally foul up our minds. Nice, huh? Over and over again, in many different places and ways, Paul reminds us to focus on what is good, what is true, what is right, what is excellent and praiseworthy, to keep our thoughts from becoming impure. Remember, where your mind goes, so you go. And when we entertain those impure thoughts, it isn't long before we have acted on them and made our bodies impure as well. We must be careful to take captive our thoughts to Christ's will and to watch ourselves for impurity in our minds as well as in our words and actions. The last one we're going to talk about today is sensuality. One of those words that we don't use often enough to really know what it means anymore. Sensuality is really any excessive behavior or lack of restraint. It doesn't have to be about sexual indulgence. Anything that we do to heighten our sensation, to make something feel better, falls under this. But over time, this has come to be associated with sexual excess and indulgence. We'll cover that in more detail when we get to the last one of this list of obvious sins. But still, here, Paul is most likely talking about sexual sensuality, as that's what he's already been focusing on. Think about the movie that came out around Valentine's Day, 50 Shades of Grey. When we seek to heighten our sensuality with increasingly perverse and even dangerous things to make sex more exciting, we're degrading what God has given to us. Ladies, God has made our bodies able to do amazing things. We don't need to twist the gift that sex is between a man and a wife in the name of indulgence. I want to end with this thought today. God created us. He created our bodies. He made our bodies work together the way that they do. Sex was entirely God's idea, and I think one of his better ones. However, in creating sex, God also put parameters around sex. Just as a parent would put parameters around where their child can ride his bike, so God put parameters here. He's trying to keep us from being out in rush hour traffic by putting the parameters he did. Let me remind you that since God created sex, don't you think that he knew what he was doing when he created the parameters too? He didn't put the limits there to be mean or to limit our freedom, but he put the parameters there to give us freedom and to protect us from getting figuratively run over. Let me tell you, I can list off ways that lack of purity has negatively impacted me, my spouse, our relationship, even before we were married, even before we knew each other. God knew what he was doing in defining the parameters for sexuality. I don't really have any questions for you today, but I would simply say this. If any of these three obvious sins describes you and you haven't repented of them, please do not try to argue against God that somehow this isn't a sin for you, that you're not really sinning or you weren't really sinning. Don't try to justify your sin and don't try to hide from it. Repent of it and let him show you the path that he has for you. Let him show you what he intends for you and go to him. Ask for forgiveness and let him into your heart to change it for you. He is good, he is faithful, and he will rescue you. Ladies, you can find the notes for this study under the Bible Studies tab on the website naomistable.com, day 20. Pardon me, your works are showing.